I'm not sure. I would probably go lake house out of these. I'm not a big beach guy with the mountain thing. Probably the lake house. But what we do here is some of you had different reasons, right? Growing your own things. You're terrified of the other ones. So you look at maybe also some of the beauty of these. But what you only see here is they're kind of isolated. And Eliana actually brought up that the animals would be her neighbors. None of us brought up who your neighbors are here. They all look isolated. But so many of us have neighbors where we live. Most of us have neighbors right around us, whether you're in apartments, condos, homes. There's somebody in general for most of us in somewhat close proximity. And I hear a lot of people when they're talking about buying a new house is, how's the neighborhood? How's the neighborhood? How are the people? How's the schools in the neighborhood? So the neighbors are important. The neighbors are a huge part of where we live. And if you can't tell from how many times I've said the word neighbor, we're going to talk about neighbors today, about being a neighbor. We're starting a series for the summer on the parables. All right, so it'll be on all the parables. It's going to come up here in a minute. It says, school's not out. Summer lessons from the parables. Quick disclaimer to those of you that work in the school system, school is out for you, I promise. My wife's a teacher. She's ready to be done. If you're done, it's over for you. I will handle the teaching, and so will Julie this summer. You get to be done. But the point is we're going to learn all summer long just from different parables, mostly from the book of Luke. If you're unfamiliar with the parables, Jesus does a lot of his teaching through the parables. He's asked a question or he's clearing something up, and he tells a parable, kind of like a story with a lot of information to explain something. So each week, we're going to look at the parable and see what Jesus is trying to teach us. And today is a somewhat familiar and popular one, the parable of the Good Samaritan, in which Jesus is asked, who is my neighbor? And I think the parable goes a little bit deeper than just who is my neighbor, and that's sometimes how we talk about it, is just who is the neighbor, but it goes beyond that. It goes to actually acting like a neighbor, and even more broadly, acting like a follower of Jesus, and just being a neighbor, being a follower of Jesus is not the same to me as acting like that. So today, I want you to think about this. Don't just be a follower of Jesus. Act like a follower of Jesus. Act like a follower of Jesus. So today, we're going to tie that into acting like a neighbor and loving your neighbor in the way that Jesus would. So we're going to start off by reading the first part of the parable. The scripture will be right up here behind me. It is in the Bibles there on your table. Some of them are bookmarked. If you want to use phones, tablets, I will be in Luke 10, starting with verse 25. I'm in the NIV translation. So let's read 25 through 28. This is kind of going to be the setup of our parable. So here we go. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, what's written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. We'll stop there. So we have this expert in the law. Basically, think of a lawyer, a very smart man. And he is asking Jesus about gaining eternal life. And he goes to the law. What he's concerned with would be the law of Moses. We would know this as the first five books of our Old Testament in our Bibles today. So this lawyer would know what the law says. He is smart. He understands it. He studied it. He's trying to see if Jesus is faithful to the law, how Jesus interprets the law. This happens frequently throughout Jesus' ministry. He gets questioned on it. He gets challenged on it, right? He's kind of the new guy on the block that maybe he's going to shake some things up, so they're testing him. And the lawyer says, based on the question, how do I inherit eternal life? So he's kind of getting at, like, there's something I have to just do. It's an action. It's work. So he's kind of misunderstanding what Jesus is all about already. But Jesus doesn't straight up answer. He just puts it back to him and says, all right, you know the law. You're an expert. What's it say? And he recites the law, probably word for word, very well. And Jesus kind of says, great, do that, and you're good to go. But the words have different meanings. See, because the lawyer sees loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength as just like stuff, I just have to do it, I have to do it. Versus Jesus would see this as a lifestyle, the way you live, the way you act. So these things take on different meanings to the two. And even the word neighbor, when he says love your neighbor as yourself, the lawyer here is concerned predominantly with his Jewish neighbors, the people that are at least somewhat like him. There are parameters to this. So they're kind of having a little bit of an exchange. And what you got here is two guys talking about the same thing, but one's going to maybe have a different understanding or a different spin. So here's how I would think about this. Becky, you can throw up this little picture. So I like food. I like to cook. So we describe things and try to understand it in food. Think about two chefs, all right, that are making the same dish. They're going to make a BLT, right? It's just a BLT sandwich. So one says to the other chef, how do I do it? And he says, well, what do you think? Well, I got to have my bread, and then I got to have my bacon, lettuce, tomato. That's how we get BLT. He's like, yep, do that, and you'll have a sandwich. And that can be just the basic. But this other chef that says, yeah, go ahead and do that, there's more you can do to really make this sandwich come alive. We can add some avocado and a runny egg. If you've never done this, do it. It's delicious. You'll thank me later. All right, have a BLT with avocado and the runny egg. It might appeal to people differently. It makes it come alive. It's not just strict to just the letter of the recipe. It's bigger, it's new, it's different, and it comes alive. Do we make following Jesus come alive? Or do we want to be just sure we just have it right, that we just hit each ingredient, the bacon, the lettuce, and tomato, and make sure we get it right? Or do we want to make it live and show people how impactful and how awesome it can be? Do we make it a lifestyle? Let other people actually see us following Jesus. Help them maybe become attracted to following Jesus. You might miss an ingredient here or there, right? You might tell a lie or use some language once in a while. Guess what? Does God like it? No, but we're forgiven for it as we're trying to make Jesus come alive, because Jesus forgave us for that, but he wants us to live out following him. He fulfilled the law that this lawyer is talking about. It doesn't mean it goes away, but it means we're not bound by it anymore. So he's saying, make this come alive. Live it out. Act like a follower of Jesus. And part of acting like a follower of Jesus is acting like a neighbor. And that's where Jesus is going to go next. Let's read Luke 10. This will be 29 through 35. This is the actual parable itself. But he, the lawyer, wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, who's my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. When he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. When I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Stop there. So this lawyer kind of presses again and says, okay, well, who's my neighbor? I think he knows the right answer, but he's kind of challenging Jesus here. So Jesus tells the parable. We have a man. We know nothing else about this man. Just a run-of-the-mill dude. And he's traveling down this road, attacked by robbers and left for dead. To give it the context, this road from Jerusalem to Jericho would have been dangerous. It's probably a 17-mile-long road with a massive descent and a lot of curves and turns. So lots of places for robbers, thieves to hang out and hide and then get away. So he's giving the story realistic context, this lawyer. Like, this guy could have actually been attacked here. So we have a priest who walks by and sees it. And this is a man that would offer sacrifices at the temple. He's got some status. He's a big deal, very religious. But he passes by on the other side of the road. Big thing. He saw the man. He didn't miss him. He saw it and passed by on the other side. Next, we have a Levite. This would also be a guy with some degree of status. He would provide service or order and maintenance to the temple. He does the same thing as a priest did. He sees him, goes on the other side. We don't know why. One of the theories is that part of their law is ritualistic purity, meaning they could not touch the dead body. That would have been making them unclean and a violation of the law. Now, they don't know the guy's dead, but they think he might be. Possibly the reason they passed by. So now there's going to be a third guy coming by. Now, the lawyer, the thought is, he's probably thinking, all right, I know who this is going to be. This is going to be just kind of your general Jewish man that's going to show he's got it going on, right? So like we had, for our context, I went by. As a pastor, I passed by on the other side of the road. Mark went by, our council member. Mark passed by on the other side of the road, right? Well, now we got Sam. Sam's going to come by and do it right, right? It's going to be Sam. Except it's not, but it's not Sam. It's a Samaritan. It's not Sam. Sam probably would. Sam's a nice guy. He would do it. But it's a Samaritan. And this is a big deal because Samaritans and Jews did not like each other. they were at odds with each other. They would fight. There would be conflict. Not great. They would not have associated with each other. But the Samaritan is the one that sees the man and acts. He shows compassion. This is how he has separated himself from the other two, from the priest and the Levite. They came, they saw, and they passed by. He came, he saw, he had compassion. He cleaned and bandaged the wounds. He put the guy on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and paid for him to be there for an extended period of time. We don't know how long, but based on the amount of money, this was not just an overnighter and then say, okay, kick him to the curb after a night. This would have been a longer time. He went above and beyond. He saw the issue, and he didn't run away and avoid it. He jumped in to help. I was playing this game with my kids on our trampoline this week. There'll be a picture here of us. We play this game called Don't Touch the Balls. There's my son, Jeremiah, on our trampoline. And the idea is we have all these balls out there, and you're jumping around. And if it hits you, you lose a life or a point. Here's the issue with me playing this with my kids, is if you can kind of do, you know, the science on it, I'm heavier and bigger than they are, so all the balls always naturally roll towards me, right? So I get hit all the time. But the point is, you're supposed to see them and avoid them. Right, we're jumping to the other side of the trampoline all over the place because we don't want to touch the balls. The balls are like this man. And we are like the priest and the Levite trying to avoid with everything in us because we don't want to jump in and help. Do we do this when we follow Jesus sometimes? Do we pass by? We have to think about how we follow Jesus. Now, easily to think, we want to be the Samaritan. Right? We just do. We want to work in that same vein. We want to be people in our minds that help out and that see and take compassion. It's not always quite that simple because both the priest and the Levite and the Samaritan show ways of following Jesus. The priest and the Levite do it in performance. They don't want to be touched by those balls on the trampoline. They want to check all the good boxes. They want to stay ritually clean and not lose points with God. But the Samaritan represents through action. He goes and helps. Think about the two of them talking about their day. Priests and Levites would have said, hey, I didn't touch a dead body today. Go me. Versus the Samaritan, yeah, I saw somebody in trouble and I stepped in and I helped. Think about us. Hey, I didn't lie today. Good for me. I saw somebody in need and I jumped in to help. Right? We have the kind of the didn't lie crowd are the box checkers, right? And I love to check boxes on checklists. I have a Google task list that literally repopulates every week with the things I need to do to get ready to come here and do this. We as Christians sometimes can get caught in the trap of just checking the boxes of following Jesus. I showed up to church. I gave some money. My internet browser's clean. I didn't berate the customer service rep on the phone yesterday that irritated me. I did it. I'm not losing any points. And those are all good things. But is it actually living out following Jesus, or are we just trying to not really lose points with God? We want to be followers of Jesus that act like followers of Jesus. That's the full picture, is the action part. Live out our faith. Live out the lessons of Jesus. Act like the Samaritan did. Don't reduce following Jesus to checking some boxes, but step outside that box to live out following Jesus in love and compassion. And that's really what Jesus is going to explain in these last couple verses. Let's read 36 and 37 here and finish up the parable. So Jesus says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So Jesus ends by asking a question, but it's not the same one that the lawyer asked. The lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? Jesus asks, who acted like a neighbor? Not who was the priest or the Levite or the Samaritan's neighbor, but who acted like a neighbor to the man that was in need. The lawyer's question would have said, you know, did that hurt man, did he have status as somebody's neighbor? But Jesus flips it to say it doesn't matter. It's who acted like a neighbor to him. Now, the lawyer knows the answer, right? He knows the right answer is the Samaritan. He can't even say the word Samaritan. He just says the one that showed compassion. Jesus says, you're right. Go and act like that. You don't have to be a priest, a Levite, or a Samaritan, or anything. But as a follower of Jesus, to act like a neighbor. This is the example. So will we, as followers of Jesus, follow this example, acting like a neighbor? try to stay out of the mindset of they get to be my neighbor, right? They get to be my neighbor. But instead, I get to be their neighbor. So it's not coming back towards us. It's we're going out towards them. And I think being a good neighbor comes down to one big word for me. It's a word I couldn't get out of my mind this week as I was studying this one and preparing it, and it's compassion. I think compassion is a great word. The Oxford Languages Dictionary defines compassion as sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. We should have compassion for people. Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourself with it. Think about that imagery for a little bit. You're putting it on every day. I have this hat here. And it says, you matter on it. Ryan, who's not in the room now, gave me this hat, actually. Actually gave it to me. And I've worn this a number of times, a number of places. And I've had, we'll just put it on. That's fine. I've had like a barista and a checker at a grocery store comment on it. Just be like, how cool is that? That it just says you matter. But think about actually clothing yourselves with this mindset as we go out each day. We're putting on our compassion so that we can have it to give to people. Right? Everyone is going to matter. Everyone we're concerned for, and we can have compassion. Make it a choice and act in compassion. First off, to the people that you don't know, but you see, having compassion. This is like the parable. The Samaritan, no clue who this man was that got hurt. He didn't know. He doesn't care. He saw and he helped. And this can take a variety of forms. This could happen. I remember this time I was with Chris. It was right before Chris's wedding years ago. Chris and a few of us were in Chicago for his bachelor party, and we were going to a Cubs game at Wrigley. And we were eating at a restaurant in Wrigleyville, and it was one of these sandwich places that actually Man vs. Food had been. So they make these massive, massive sandwiches. And we ate as much as we could. None of us could finish the sandwich, so we have it in our to-go containers, and we start walking to the stadium. And then as we're getting close, I see one of his friends, this guy named Pepe, go over and take a sandwich and hand it to somebody there that was asking for help, that was asking for money and things like that. Just handed him the rest of his sandwich. He saw a heck of passion on somebody that needed something. He didn't know that guy. But he's like, I have this sandwich. I can hand it off to this. So maybe you can offer food or money or an item or something. And one of the responses when we talk about this is sometimes, I don't know what they're going to do with it. If I give them money, they're going to buy drugs or alcohol or waste it. And the fact is that might be true. We don't know when we give what they're going to do. But what's important is that God sees you acting like a neighbor to them. What they do with it is between them and God. God sees you having a heart and a heart of compassion for people. So maybe you think, I can't do that. I can't give food or money or anything like that. Okay. What about a smile and a hello as you walk by? You know, if you're downtown and you see people out. Just a smile and a wave. Let them know that you see them, that they're visible. I don't think we have to put ourselves in a situation that's dangerous or that would hurt you if you have been hurt in a situation like that before or been burned or just can't do it. But I do think there are other ways we can still show compassion. And it might be a little uncomfortable. But if we think about it, we have compassion and we're giving it. Giving of ourselves can be uncomfortable and risky. It just is. But it's where God may be calling us to give that to people. You can also just pray. I've thought about this a lot as you drive by and see if you see people standing, you know, near the stoplights or anything with signs, and maybe you can't stop or anything like that, but offer a quick prayer that something is there for them, that God sees them as well. So somehow having a heart, compassion for people, how can we do that? So these are the people maybe you don't know. But what about the ones you do know that you have a relationship with, your friends, your family? How can you have compassion with them? And there are a variety of ways this could happen, but there's one I want to highlight today. And that is be an ear to listen. And not just be one ear, give them both ears. Now that maybe seems simple, but it's not. Because I do this with my kids all the time. I did it as I was writing this week. Joella, my three-year-old, is at home, and if you know her, she does not stop talking ever. So I'm listening with one ear, and I'm doing something else with this other ear, right? Give people both ears. Don't listen to respond or to fix or thinking about something else and letting it go in one ear and out the other, but just listen to let them be heard. that can be a way to have compassion for them. Sit on the front porch, sit by the fire over coffee or whatever, and just let somebody be heard. Have compassion in that way. That is a way we can act like a neighbor. So kind of as we wrap things up here, being a neighbor, being a follower of Jesus is great. But acting like a neighbor is really what following Jesus is about. See those around you. See those in need of something. And then act. Don't pass by. Act in some way, even if it's just praying for them. Have a heart for them. Because having a heart for those in need is having a heart for Jesus. And that's not just being a follower of Jesus. That is acting like a follower of Jesus. And I want us all, as Christians, as part of this church, to act like followers of Jesus. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this parable, for the lesson Jesus taught about acting like a neighbor to those in need, acting out of love, acting out of compassion. So God, I pray that you would put it on our hearts and our minds, God, ways we can do that, even if it's a small thing or a big thing, whatever it is, God, but that our hearts would be filled with compassion for those in need, that we would clothe ourselves with that every day. We would make it a conscious choice to put on that compassion and see who needs that. So God, I pray that we would act like followers of Jesus and that we would live out following you. We would have that as a lifestyle. I pray this in your name.